It's more than just words on a page, more than ink and paper. It's a universe waiting to be explored, to learn from, to laugh with, to see life through a different lens. Every story leaves its mark, and every reader leaves with a bookmark. Welcome to The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Good afternoon. I'm Batya Bricker, and you are listening to 101.9 Chai FM's Bookmark, the home for stories and the people who love them. Today's show is a recorded one. I am currently rubbing shoulders with the literati of the South African and international book world in Franschhoek in the Cape. It's the Franschhoek Literary Festival this weekend. And for a reader, that is nearly four days of total book bliss. With its heritage architecture, oak-lined streets and little galleries and cafes, plus the mountain-framed beauty, the town itself feels like something out of a novel. One moment you're hurrying into a session at the Scout Hall, the next you're slipping into the council chambers to hear an author unpack a life, a war, a marriage, a country. And everywhere, people clutch books to their chest like treasured companions. Entire streets hum with ideas, and where readers and writers wander around together as though this is the most natural thing in the world. What is so marvelous about the FLF is not just the books themselves, although books do seem to spill out of every doorway and conversation. This kind of festival creates a sense of community, bringing people together of all ages and backgrounds who connect through reading. So you often land up talking to total strangers about your book of the year, or you discover that the person beside you on the beanbag outside the town hall, because that's where everybody hangs out if the weather is good, has just recommended the book that will become your next obsession. So that's what today's show offers you, a taste of the beautiful book-soaked bustle of the Franschhoek Literary Festival. Some of the titles I'll be exploring, authors I'll be listening to, and the characters that I hope to meet. The formal book program is jam-packed, usually with four or five options for every time slot. It's often difficult to choose, and sometimes you have major FOMO for all the sessions you simply can't get to. But sometimes not getting your first choice of session is the best thing to happen, because you stumble upon an author or an idea or a book that you would not have picked up yourself. And that really was your B plan, but that lands up being just the highlight of your festival. There are also book breakfasts and writing workshops, lit quizzes, and even high teas. I know it's happened where I've booked for a talk because one of my favorite authors is on the panel, but then you get blown away by somebody else altogether. And sometimes it's even the interlocutor who impresses the most. So we're going to talk more about the Franschhoek Literary Festival and talk to somebody who's really one of the key features of the festival, someone I look forward to meeting up with and air-kissing every year, Paige Nick. So more after the break.
It's more than just words on a page, more than ink and paper. It's a universe waiting to be explored, to learn from, to laugh with, to see life through a different lens. Every story leaves its mark, and every reader leaves with a bookmark. Welcome to The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Welcome back. I'm Batya Bricker, and you are listening to 101.9 Chai FM's Bookmark, the home for stories and the people who love them. Today, I'm taking you on a little journey through Franschhoek and the Franschhoek Literary Festival to give you a taste of the smells and sights that you can experience when you visit a book fair like Franschhoek. Franschhoek is pretty much the gold standard of book fairs in South Africa, although there are lots and lots of little ones as well. And it's really becomes a highlight. I kind of book as I'm leaving Franschhoek. The year before, I'm booking my accommodation for the year next. Some of the memorable events in previous years for me have included a book event with Caster Semenya, who is the South African middle distance runner and the winner of two Olympic gold medals. She launched her memoir, The Race to Be Myself, and it told of the coming-of-age story of this iconic athlete, of Custer's dramatic journey from a gifted and self-trained novice to the pinnacle of her sport. And it takes readers behind the scenes of her inspiring battle to run in, as she calls it, the body that God gave me. Listening to her honesty, her vulnerability and courage in her own words was so powerful. I actually get shivers thinking about it again. And you could hear a pin drop in that town hall. Another highlight for me was hearing Ingrid de Kock, who is a great friend of the great Ankie Kroch. And she is a celebrated poet in her own right. They both read their poetry aloud, both Ingrid and Ankie. Ingrid from her book called Unleaving. And a year later, I still remember her unforgettable descriptions, such as she's talking about remorse and she talks about the sandpaper of regret. I was also in awe of Kate Moss. Kate Moss is a British novelist. She's a nonfiction writer and playwright, but she's best known for her historical fiction, which you may know, the multi-million selling Languedoc trilogy, Labyrinth, and those books, and the Joubert Family Chronicles. She is a dedicated advocate for women's fiction. And so she co-founded the prestigious Women's Prize for Fiction in 1996. It was a privilege to hear her talk about the Women's Prize, how and why it started, and what has changed in women's writing over the years. Because the Women's Prize had to change, really, its raison d'etre as the years went by. The most popular sessions are always South African current affairs, and you have people like the founding leader of the DA, Tony Leon, and political journalist and editor Pieter du Toit, who wrote the Stellenbosch Mafia. They are often featured on the program. You have lots of foodie sessions, which are usually wonderful and soul-filled, hugely popular. The list goes on. And yes, some of my favorites, one of my favorite sessions last year was all about romance and the new hype and explosion of romance writing. And so even though it's not a genre that I choose to read, it is fascinating to see why people are choosing it and why it's experienced such huge popularity. After the break, we'll be chatting to novelist, columnist, advertising copywriter, festival curator, book show host, and interlocutor, Paige Nick, who lives, sleeps, and breathes words. We're going to be talking about her life in books, and particularly her latest book called The Book People, which is a satire about online media and cancel culture for everyone who thinks that books are harmless. She is very funny and wonderfully entertaining, so keep listening.
It's more than just words on a page, more than ink and paper. It's a universe waiting to be explored, to learn from, to laugh with, to see life through a different lens. Every story leaves its mark, and every reader leaves with a bookmark. Welcome to The Bookmark with Batya Bricka.
Welcome back. I'm Batya Bricka, and this is Bookmark, with a very special edition about the Franschhoek Literary Festival and other things bookish. A life in books isn't one thing. It's not about being a writer or a reader or even a reviewer. It's about inhabiting a world where words matter, and they matter the most. One of the people who truly lives this, who embodies it fully and energetically and playfully, is Paige Nick. Paige is one of those rare literary figures who moves effortlessly across genres and platforms with a wicked sense of humor and a razor-sharp eye for the absurdities of modern life. She's the author of a string of smart and deeply relatable novels, and her newest one is The Book People, which we'll talk about more. She also has her own book show on Fine Music Radio called Book Choice. She's a copywriter by day and by night, and I think any time in between. She also runs the Good Book Appreciation Society, a Facebook recommendation forum where readers, and many of them writers too, can post honestly about books and by way of reviews and ratings and queries. And the forum now has over 23,000 members. But more than that, she doesn't just sit at a desk and write. She engages with culture, responding, reflecting, and reshaping it, with a few laughs along the way. So today we are not just talking books and words, we're talking about what it means to build a life around them. Paige, I am so delighted to have you to chat on Chai FM's Bookmark today. Welcome.
Well, Batya, I wish every day could start with an introduction like that. I would have no imposter syndrome ever again.
as if. All true. So there's a book show. There are books. There are book festivals. There's a bookish face group. It's difficult to know when to start. But since this is the Franschhoek Literary Festival special edition of Bookmark, maybe let's start with book festivals and the sheer joy of them. What is your favorite thing about the FLF, Franschhoek Literary Festival?
There are so many favorite things. It's a very favorite festival. It was the first book festival I ever went to before I'd even published a book. So I have very fond memories going quite far back. I think my favorite thing about the Franschhoek Literary Festival is that life gets put on hold just for that weekend. And we all live in the little area. I walk everywhere, and as you walk, you see everybody and everything, even people you don't know. And because we're all there for one reason, you know everybody there already. You may never have seen them before. But when you bump into somebody browsing next to you, you know that there's already this great love that you share. So you're friends already. So it feels like a very contained, friendly space for a weekend. And it feels outside of life somehow. I don't know if you have that sense. As well.
My best is standing in the queue for the ladies' toilet, because there's always a queue. But you have a friend in front of you and a friend behind you, and all you're talking about is your favorite reads or the next best thing to have by your bedside. And I just love it. It's a sense of community.
It's real community. Book people.
Yes.
These are our people.
For those simply attending the festival, FLF is 3 days of pure delight. You soak in the words and the atmosphere and the wine. But for those of us behind the scenes, as it were, there's a lot of work to be done. And I see that you are chairing two panels this year. Tell us about some of the preparation that you have done.
Well, interestingly, a panel that I'm chairing on Friday, it's at 2:30, it's called Meet the Debuts. And here's what's interesting about this. They do this panel every year. They take three random debut authors and stick them on one panel. So I'm moderating a panel on a political nonfiction title that covers all the political
shenanigans
in the upcoming elections.
Oh, you meant parties.
Then I'm covering a coming... Yes, big time. Right, yeah, the parties, the actual parties and the political parties. So I've got a political nonfiction title paired with a gay coming-of-age spud-type fun novel, paired with a book called Diplomatic Ties, which is about a South African diplomat to Belgium, a South African diplomat in Belgium. So three, they couldn't be more different. What do these three books have in common? So that's the one panel that I'm moderating. So you've got to read all the books, find what they have in common, decide what I want to ask the author. I mean, it's a real joy. I feel very lucky I get to ask the authors whatever I want to ask them. So yeah, that's the prep. Read the books, engage with the content, and decide what do you think the audience would like to hear about from these three very disparate places.
Very. From experience in chairing festival panels myself, you don't always get the choice of who appears on your panels, and clearly you did not in this case either. So it often means that you have to pick up a book you may not have read or something you didn't expect to enjoy. Did that happen this year?
Absolutely. You couldn't have paid me to pick up, it's called by Tara Ross, Where To From Here. It's literally a book on politics. And I'm a fictionista. I like fiction. Every now and then I'll read a bit of nonfiction, but I try to stay away from the politics. It's not my bag, baby. So it forced me to read it, and I loved it. I learned so much. And when I put it down, I thought, every South African needs to read this book before we go into our next elections, just so you know where we're coming from and where to from here. So it's that forced thing. And sometimes often I find, I don't know if you find this, but a book club will do this for you. People in a book club will recommend a book that you would never have otherwise picked up, and it can change things for you. So it's nice to live outside of your echo chamber a little bit, and I think festivals do that.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing opportunity to try something new, to get a taste for a different voice. I know that I sometimes, you join a panel for one author because you're a fan, and then you land up stumbling across the other author on the panel and becoming a groupie and sort of changing your entire program so that you can follow that author.
Yes, and the other thing that happens at Franschhoek, because they have so many panels happening at the same time, you might find that a panel you really wanted to go to is fully booked. So, you know, you take your second or third best option and you walk out of that and you go, thank goodness I went to that one. That was the panel I was meant to go to. The universe sent me to that panel. That happens to me a lot.
A lot. The magic of serendipity.
Right.
I see that you also curating a program for the upcoming Fine Arts festival, which is in Hermanus in June. Was that fun or not really?
So Ian DeVos, remember he was on our telly when we were kids. And so he reached out to me and he said, would you like to curate the book festival in Hermanus? I'm an author and a book person. I've never curated a book festival before. So I said to him, I have no idea how to do that. Yes, absolutely. Sign me up. So it's a whole new experience for me. I absolutely loved it. It's been very challenging. And that is in Hermanus from the 8th to the 14th of June. So listener, go have a look at our program at the Hermanus Fan Arts website, and you can let me know if you think I've done a good job or not.
You most definitely have done a good job. And I think what I loved and what got me salivating about this festival, the Fan Arts Festival, is that it's a mixture of all kinds of arts, including, you know, there's the visual arts, there's the music, there's food, and there's books. So I feel like books, yes, has a rightful place amongst delicious things.
I totally agree. And what's also interesting is where arts and books have collided. So one of the theatre productions that are being held at the Hermanus Fan Arts is My Name is Lucy Barton.
From Elizabeth Stroud. Wow.
Right? So I said to him, let's have a table outside that event, outside the theatre, with all Elizabeth Stroud's books on it. So this is where books collide with the world, and where I like to collide with books is in the world. So it's been very meaningful to me, and I'm also excited to just walk around the town and come across an exhibition. They're going to have just not random exhibitions, they're going to have exhibitions in a coffee shop, or so you can just, again, it's the same as Franschhoek. You live in a small community for that space and time, and you just find culture and arts all around you. You can just enjoy it wherever you are. So I am super looking forward to that.
How lovely. Let's talk about the books, but particularly your book. And I think the most recent one is the one I want to focus on. But your first book was A Million Miles from Normal. It was published in 2010, which feels like 300 years ago. You also write with Sarah Lotz and Helen Moffat. It's a choose-your-own-adventure erotic novels, perfect for some, not for others. And I'll leave you to Google those and check them out if they're your bag. But it's the new one, The Book People, that shines a light on the world of books, on publishing, on writing and editing, and all the crazy people in it. Can you tell us about The Book People and how your life in hosting the Good Book Appreciation Society on Facebook inspired or provided the richest fodder for this story?
Yes, thank you so much. I started the Good Book Appreciation Society, which is a book club on Facebook, kind of by accident. In 2011, I think. I belonged to a book club at the office, and we used to meet every Friday at somebody's desk. It was very informal and talk about books. And then slowly we got very, very busy. I'm in advertising for my day job. We got very, very busy, and we didn't really get lunch breaks, and a lot of people left the agency. You know, people move around. So we moved on to Facebook so that the people who left the agency could still be part of this book chat. And it started with seven people. And my first post got 3 likes. I don't really understand what kind of friends you have that you invite to a book club and they don't even like your first post. But anyway, I try not to hold a grudge since 2013. So I started this book club, the Good Book Appreciation Society, on Facebook, and today it has 25,000 members. So wow. It's become accidentally, somehow, it's organically and accidentally become a very busy space for books. And I run it by myself somehow, but it just manages itself. But over the years, some crazy things have happened on the page, and there are crazy people, and authors can get a little bit crazy. And listener, maybe there's a book that you absolutely love, and you loved so much that you feel very strongly about it, and you take it very personally if somebody doesn't like that book as much as you do. So there's a lot of that kind of thing. And then, of course, should anybody mention a book about any kind of conflict, or about Trump or Musk or Palestine and Israel, you can imagine things can get quite heated. So over the years, there've been quite a lot of instances of things getting heated. And I woke up one day and I thought, it would be really interesting to write a book set in a book club on Facebook that has 25,000 members. So, and that was the seed. I was like, here, I run this club in real life, so let me run this club in a fictionary imagination, in an imagined space. And then the book kind of fell out of that, I guess.
Well, the book is hilarious. There's Harry Shields, who is the author who gets overly defensive about a bad book review. It kind of appeals to that slightly grubby defensive side of all of us, let's be honest. There's the exasperated Norma stroke page, I would imagine, trying to keep the lid on the unfolding drama. And then my favorite character is Frida. I know she has no lines, but she is funny for a completely different love and light kind of reason. Is it hard to write humor, or is this just, are you funny all the time?
Look, a lot of people who know me well will say I am not funny all the time.
<I'm sure. laughs>
I don't aim to write humor. I just write what falls out of my head, and I guess it leans in. I enjoy humor. I like to laugh very much. I have a very loud laugh. When I used to work in agency pre-COVID, when we worked in agency, I used to get phone calls from reception to say, please, can you stop laughing? They can hear you in the boardroom and they're trying to have a meeting. I have a very loud, boisterous laugh, and I love to laugh. So I think that's just my voice. I think it's just what comes through. I like to read strange, quirky books, and I like to write them. So yeah, I think it's just how it happens. I hope it's funny. I think the world is a very serious place. I come to the world as an author from a space of thinking that the world is a very serious place, and I would like to bring a smile and some joy to this very serious place for myself and for readers. So I enjoy the writing process. I can have a little giggle. How embarrassing to laugh at your own jokes. But I enjoy the writing process, and I hope that translates into a reader enjoying the reading process.
Oh, it definitely does. This is a Sunday afternoon or Sunday lazy day with snacks, giggling, sniggering to yourself. And as I say, Harry Shields, you laugh at him, but it's kind of, you know, a lot of us have felt that defensiveness. Harry lands up getting cancelled for his spectacularly bad behaviour online. Talk to us about cancel culture, when you wrote the book, and what it is now.
Yes, a lot for me. And interestingly, I was just listening to a podcast with Damon Golgat, who is a Booker Award-winning author. And I felt quite chuffed that he said something that I subscribe to. And that podcast is The Hidden Lives of Writers with Gail Schimmel and Fiona Snikers. They do a great podcast. And he said, and I believe, that often when I write a book, it's because I'm trying to figure out how I feel about something. And often I don't know what that is until I'm writing it, until afterwards. It helps me to process something that I'm working through or something that I'm thinking about. Because I run the space on Facebook with 25,000 members, it gets contentious, and I often am concerned that I might get canceled at any point. I think all writers are concerned about that, or people who live a little bit on social media are concerned about getting cancelled. And so I wanted to explore cancel culture and how I feel about it, whether I think it's right, whether I think it's wrong, whether I think it's gone too far. So the front side of the book is that it's a fun romp into a bunch of book lovers who literally lose the plot. The back side of it is, where's cancel culture going and should we be okay with it? Has it gone too far? So I was asking all those questions and exploring the process of finding some answers for myself.
Yeah, and the question is as relevant as ever, if not even more relevant now. The shout at the back of the book says, it's a satire about online media cancel culture for anyone who thinks books are harmless, which of course elicits a giggle from me. But do you think the book world is indeed harmless?
I don't think anything is harmless. I think everything in moderation. I do not think the book world is harmless. It's guilty of making us think. It's guilty of making us feel. I'm just reading a book right now. It's called Ashes of Euphoria by Jean-Paul Willemse. And it's set in Kraaifontein, which is a colored area in Cape Town that is gang riddled and full of struggles. And it's made me feel deeply uncomfortable, this book. It's not funny. It's super violent and it's very real. And books have to do that as well. Before that, I read this latest book by Madeleine Cash about the lambs, which was hilarious and made me laugh and it was very quirky. So I think books have this role. They have to push us a little bit, push us to laugh, push us to question, push us to feel a little bit concerned, push us to wonder about things or learn something. So I think book world is guilty of a few things.
Yeah, hardly harmless. I know you feel very strongly about promoting South African writers and their writing. And this book, The Book People, is about an author getting a bad review and behaving badly. But do you think honest reviews have a place? Do you think that they are important, especially when we are trying to promote South African writers and their writing? Can you be totally honest? Are you totally honest?
This is such an interesting question, and I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of thoughts, but I don't have all the answers. Most South African reviewers and authors will tell you that if they don't enjoy a book, they just won't review it, a South African book. If they don't enjoy it, they just won't review it. They won't say negative things. Our industry is too small. Sales are too small. Everything is a struggle. Publishing houses struggle. And it feels counterintuitive to be negative. Rather, they choose to find the books that they absolutely love and promote those. So that's the common status. That's kind of what you'll hear. That's the party line. That's what you'll hear. The other side of it is, for me, if I do review a book that I absolutely love, a South African title that I absolutely love, and I feel something about it, there has to be a positive way of adding it to my review. I absolutely love this book, but I thought the cover was average. I absolutely love this book, but some errors slipped in. There does, I believe, and I haven't solved this yet, there does need to be a space for that kind of honesty. I don't think we should brutalize, and I don't think we should, you know, play the ball, not the player, for sure. But I think we could be better at that kind of honesty as a country and understand that it doesn't necessarily ruin a book. It adds a conversation. And I can use an international title as an example, Theo of Golden by Alan Levy. Did you enjoy it? Which side of the fence are you on? Did you read it?
I gave an honest review, Paige, because I loved it and I felt that we all need a bit more kindness in our world. And you know what? The world is cruel and turbulent, and that actually is a balm we all need. But I did find it a little flat, and I think it needed more nuance, more complexity to feel real and to feel deep.
Right. Well, I felt the same way. I didn't like it. And I didn't finish it for all those reasons that you just said. But my point is that we went on the Good Book Appreciation Society and I said, I didn't like this book. It sold millions, close on billions. So I thought, I'm not going to damage anything by saying I didn't, being really, really brutally honest and saying I didn't like this book. And what happened was so interesting, because half the people said they absolutely loved it, was the best book they'd ever read. Half said they absolutely hated it. It was the worst book they'd ever read. And the rest who hadn't read it said, now I really want to read this book.
Which is
So there's a lot
fabulous.
to be said for a negative review.
Yes.
Right. There's a lot to be said for a negative review in piquing people's interest in a title. So I think we still have a lot of work to do. And like I said, I don't know the answers. But I like to think that sometimes a negative review, I mean, we're all different. If you review a book negatively, you might say something in that actually appeals to me.
Correct.
Oh, it's a book about green pastures. I'm kind of partial to green pastures. So I think that a lot of conversations need to be had about this. And we need to just carry on and try to be honest in a very kind way. That's what the Alan Levy did do. It's a very kind book, taught kindness. Maybe there's a way to do this in a very kind way.
I like that. What is next for Paige Nick in books?
Well, Franschhoek this weekend.
And thereafter, a big glass of wine, no doubt.
Right. No, but not enough of a glass of wine, because straight after that is Kingsmead for anyone in Johannesburg. The Kingsmead Book Fair is in Joburg the following weekend. There's also a Waldorf Constantia Book Fair, not this coming weekend, next weekend. And there's a Blown Away by Books in Fishhook. So if any of these suburbs is a suburb you're in. And then in June is the Hermanus Fine Arts Book Fair. And then at some point I need to get going on a new novel. I have a novel sitting with my agent and with my publisher, a manuscript. So here's hoping something happens with that. And then I really need to get started. Stop swanning around with a glass of wine talking about books and actually write something.
And pretending to work. Yes. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Paige. It's been an absolute delight. The Book People is a novel by Paige Nick. It's available in all good bookstores, but you can catch Paige online. You can certainly catch her on the Good Book Appreciation Society, but at all those festivals where either if it's nearby, then certainly drop by. Or otherwise make a trip. It will certainly be worth your while. Thanks so much.
It's more than just words on a page, more than ink and paper. It's a universe waiting to be explored, to learn from, to laugh with, to see life through a different lens. Every story leaves its mark, and every reader leaves with a bookmark. Welcome to The Bookmark with Batya Bricker.
Welcome back. I'm Batya Bricker, and this has been the special Franschhoek Literary Festival edition of Bookmark. This year's festival sessions I am particularly looking forward to, and also one-on-one discussions, is this lineup of authors. There's Alka Joshi, firstly, the internationally best-selling author known for the Jaipur trilogy. You might remember The Henna Artist, which was a Reese Witherspoon book club pick. And then it was followed by The Secret Keeper of Jaipur and The Perfumist of Paris. Her latest book is a standalone. It's called 6 Days in Bombay. And it's based on the a real-life artist, the Frida Kahlo of India, who I knew nothing about. And this is what is so glorious about books, because it introduced me to a whole new range of art that I knew nothing about and an artist I knew nothing about. And she shines the light on her. But this is fiction. It has a surprising Jewish angle. And she did a lot of research, actually, on Jews in India and the communities there and the culture there. So it's a worthy standalone book to her collection. And look out for her interview in the coming weeks, because I'm going to have time one-on-one to chat to her. I'm also going to have the opportunity to talk to Tan Tuan Eng. Tan Tuan Eng is the critically acclaimed Malaysian novelist known for his historical fiction, including The Gift of Rain and The Garden of Evening Mists, which you may remember. It was one of those unforgettable books. He's a former lawyer, but he is celebrated for his rich prose and themes of memory and art and war. He's had multiple works shortlisted for the Booker Prize, and his most recent work is called The House of Doors. It's magnificent. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's one of the best books I have read this year. And I'll have time to chat to him about the inspiration for this book, which again was a backstory that I knew nothing about, and also, you know, the country, Malaysia, and introducing me to the rich sights and smells of a country I have not explored myself. But I did feel, after I had finished The House of Doors, as if I had visited Malaysia myself. David McCloskey is going to be another highlight. He is an ex-CIA analyst who specializes in the Middle East. He is now an author of spy novels and the host of a highly acclaimed podcast on real-life modern espionage called The Rest is Classified. His recent book is called The Persian, and it feels like you are reading real life, because what this is about is the shadow war between Israel and Iran, prescient indeed. So as things have unfolded, I was reading it as things have unfolded in real life, in global politics and global action. And it's quite something to read from someone who really has the inside track on a lot of the dynamics between these two countries. Another mark on my event list, and something I've been chomping at the bit to do, is to listen to more Ryan Blumenthal. Ryan Blumenthal is a forensic pathologist. He has more than 20 years' experience in the field. He's based in South Africa. And his book, Autopsy, was called Life in the Trenches with a Forensic Pathologist in Africa, which was published by Jonathan Ball Publishers in 2020, but it became a nonfiction bestseller in South Africa. He has just released his next book, and be sure to look out for that interview. I'll let you know when it's going to be, when we're going to play the interview, because Ryan is hugely entertaining. He is quite brash. He's quite direct. And because he deals in dead bodies, he's got a wicked sense of humor, which I think you need to if you're going to be doing that kind of work. I remember in a panel discussion a couple of years back, somebody asked him about plastic surgery. And his comment was, when in doubt, just leave well alone. In terms of your body and the things you don't like, leave well alone. And that was Ryan Blumenthal's advice. Sven Axelrad is another author that I cannot wait to sit down and have a cup of coffee or a glass of wine with, and to also talk books and reading and writing. He's an accountant by day, but he's also a musician and a writer from Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. His debut, Buried Treasure, was shortlisted for the Sunday Times Fiction Awards and longlisted for a whole range of awards. And in fact, as I entered the studio today, his latest book called The Dogs of Vivo just landed on my desk. I cannot wait to read it. And I wanted to give you a sense of the book because it gives you a sense of Sven's style. He is sophisticated. He is smart. He is young. He's funny. He's thoughtful. The Dogs of Vivo, which is his new book, follows a group of 20-somethings who work and hang out in a bar and dream of making it big. He writes, this is a letter that he writes to the reader. I was a little younger than my characters when I started working in a bar. I had just signed up for a degree in accounting and took the job because I had no money of my own. The bar I worked for was not in a classy place, but I loved it. It had a downtrodden charm to it. It no longer exists. It's long since sold, turned into a Hooters, but I remember it well. None of the people who worked there, not even me, knew that I would become a writer, and because of this, they would become, in part, fictional characters. I doubt that they would have behaved differently if they had. At the time, I was loose-limbed, long-haired, and quite shy. I smelled vaguely of sea salt, cigarettes, and hope. I was also in love, and that love, it turned out, was doomed to fail. As far as I'm aware, all young love is. I'll keep bringing you interviews from all these authors in the weeks ahead, so keep listening to the show. Next week is Shavuot, so there won't be an episode of Bookmark, but I'll be back in the reader's seat on the 29th of May with an author called Dominique Buerta, and we're going to be talking about recovery, healing, and books that correct, that course correct, that fill your soul after a time of trauma or heartache. the cliffs of life, as Jim Collins calls it. So for now, goodbye and happy reading.